Hi, this is Karen Rausch with American Journal of Nursing, and we're going to be talking today with Dr. Jody Gary. She's an assistant professor at Texas A&M Health Science Center College of Nursing, and she authored our CE article on positive deviance. Hello, Jody, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm very excited to join you today.
I have to say I love this article. The concept is fascinating, and I think that, you know, nurses do this type of positive deviance often without even realizing it. How did you get interested in this concept?
Thank you for the excitement, because there has been some people that aren't necessarily excited about it, but I do feel it exists. I work, critical care is my background, and so I worked at night in a critical care unit, and I was kind of one of those nurses, when I went through my master's degree, it really kind of opened my eyes to look at why we do things, what the outcome of what we do, you know, are, look at a policy and decide, you know, what we have to get done, and probably a big part of it is I kept pulling up policies kind of as an interest in looking at different things I was doing in my master's program originally, and I would look at the black and white policy, and I would look over in the bed at my very gray patient. And so then when I went and started on my doctoral work, it kind of carried over into to looking at, through complexity theory, kind of how, you know, how we perceive people as a complex, you know, entity, and you really can't always take a very specific black and white guideline and fit it to meet that. So then that kind of led to me looking at how nurses, how do you provide patient-centered care? And really, it's really hard to articulate how a nurse can provide patient-centered care within very strict policies. So anyway, that kind of led to me trying to find a way to articulate what this was, what I was doing, because I found myself, probably the biggest thing for me was sitting at a bedside, trying to do a central line dressing change, and knowing I have to document the central line dressing change per policy, how we did it, but it's in a 500-pound man with a line in his groin. And so how I adapted that in a positive way, but I didn't follow policy. And so there's really no documentation or no outcome data on really how I did it. It was just a check mark that I changed the central line.
Right. And, well, there's actually, I want to talk about that. Well, I want to talk about a lot of things because, like I said, I think this is a fascinating topic. But I just want to go back to what you said earlier when you said a lot of people are not excited about this. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. You know, I think any time you talk about, you know, deviating, and I did a lot of thought about how I wanted to use that term. And then when I started looking in the literature to actually do a concept analysis, you know, positive deviance is used in lots of different areas. And so I wanted to have that connotation that, yes, we are deviating, and acknowledge that we are moving from, you know, the accepted norm, but in a positive way. I actually found a lot of literature on what they call the dark side of nursing, and I excluded that completely. Probably in what ended up being in the title of the article, I'm pretty excited, is a responsible subversion, that in 1990, Dr. Hutchinson talked about responsible subversion, is that they're being responsible. They know, nurses know that they're deviating, but they're being responsible about it. And so that's kind of the spin I wanted to put on it. But as far as people not being excited, I think any time you talk about someone not following a policy, there has to be a good reason. And so that's where I wanted some defining attributes of what, you know, what are we looking at here? And since I have actually done a research study with critical care nurses, and, of course, I didn't use the word positive deviance for them. I just asked them when there was a time that they didn't follow a guideline. And so I've got some interesting data I'm putting together from that.
Oh, that that should be very interesting. I see here one of the things you say is that positive deviance involves behaviors characterized by honorable intentions, independent of outcomes. So I think that explains it well. And the example that you use in the paper as well. And even the way you, where you just, somebody described it as an oxymoron. And,
yes.
But when you think about the definition of deviance, it carries this negative connotation. We think of a deviant, but to deviate means to leave, the path, so to speak. So.
Right. And I think there's lots of nurses kind of inventing things on the fly, mm-hmm. or doing these what we call workarounds on the fly. But if you sit and ask them, why are they doing them, it's really to provide patient-centered care.
Right. And the thought just came to me as you were talking is that I think as nurses, have gained more power as a profession and in their roles and are being taught about, are so instrumental in quality improvement kind of initiatives,
right.
that what we now look at as positive deviance will become part of what nurses do. It will be transparent and planned and intentional in a way that now you kind of, and for a long time you've kind of had to work around, but as nurses become more, empowered in their environment to make change, this will become part of what we do, because you're right, it's for patient-centered care.
And that's where one of the things I was excited about is about just being able to get the conversation out there and get it started, mm-hmm. that those providing frontline care really have a very good idea of what's working and what's not working. And so when I started looking at how they actually use the term positive deviance in all sorts of other areas, I wanted to really explore how can we use that in nursing.
Right, and you point out in the article that it's those are the these creative, progressive thinkers who are also willing to step up and do those things. That's how change happens.
Right, and it is risky. It's risky,
yes.
for nurses sometimes to talk about, especially if you're, if you're changing a medication order. That's a big deal.
Right.
To talk about, there's things that I looked at doing in my own practice, and there's no way to articulate the outcome data. One of the things that I had to do for my dissertation committee was articulate every class I took and how it impacted what I did. Well, I took a seminar class about health outcomes research, which didn't really interest me at the time, mm-hmm. until I realized that these big databases are being pulled from check marks. So if I go through and check a box that says I changed the central line dressing, it doesn't really address the fact that I might have used a completely different dressing. I might have made sure that infection didn't get in, that feces, that urine didn't get in, but I didn't follow policy.
Right.
So we don't really have good outcome data of what truly happened.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because that's one of the things you bring up in this article, that one of the negative things with the positive deviance is that it ends up that real practice doesn't really reflect the policy, and so you could say it a lot better.
Sure, is that you're the true reflection of what a nurse did at the bedside is not captured, and so we continue to have a guideline or a policy that's followed almost kind of blindly,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really updated to reflect true patient-centered care, where a physician may write an order at the end of life to keep someone comfortable by giving them morphine, 1 to 10 milligrams, IV PRN. Well, if you give that order to me, I might start an IV drip and keep them comfortable at 2 and bump it up as I needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't exactly say that, but I kind of worked around to that.
Right.
You may have, if you ask me to do a dressing change for a central line and you're specific about how big it is, well, it may not fall into the realm of a patient who is 400 pounds and has a line in their groin.
Right.
And if I use the prescribed dressing, it may not keep out infection. It may not keep out feces. Even the same thing as the example in the article of giving a dose of Demerol because it's on your routine post-op orders, because of our electronic medication system these days, I can only document a one-time administration that I gave a whole 100 milligrams. and that might not be appropriate exactly for that patient at the time, where I may want to experiment with, let me see how 25 milligrams does. And then over a course of 8 hours, I may actually give the entire dose, but there's really nowhere to articulate that.
Right. And I think, what about the argument that people will have, well, instead of, dividing the dose up, and then why not call the physician or the NP and get orders changed? Sure.
And that's actually in when I did some research with critical care nurses, is a lot of them do, and sometimes they'll do it after, mm-hmm. After the fact. So they get an order post, positive deviance. And there's nothing to be said that we can't call, but at 2 in the morning, or when you're trying to make a quick second decision on something,
right.
The callback doesn't come. You're trying to, get what you need to provide patient-centered care. And that's why there's that risk, that it involves risk for the caregiver. Is there some risk to your license there,
right.
to go against practice? So one of the things I'd like to look at is having guidelines that you go by. So you kind of have really well thought out guidelines to assist you in every step of the way, but also allow for that complexity that people have.
So that the nurse uses her critical judgment within a kind of parameters that are set.
Sure, that you have some set parameters without the connotation of a very strict rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at complexity theory and view healthcare as a complex environment and people as complex things, you can't put a black and white to everything.
Right.
It doesn't always meet the needs. And so it was really interesting to look at how nurses provide patient-centered care and really not being able to find a lot. There's pretty much a dearth of literature out there because everything that nurses do is prescribed by somebody else.
Right, right, for the most part, yeah.
Right. So just looking at nurses having a little bit more influence and being able to adapt the care to what their patient needs.
Mm-hmm. So how does this change? What does the bedside nurse, what's the bedside nurse, what do they take away from this?
I think the biggest thing to take away from it is opening up the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up the conversation for nurses to be able to have a bigger influence in how policies and procedures and guidelines are formulated. And maybe even not having the strict, policy, but maybe moving it toward a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
As Gawande talks about in his checklist manifesto, is, having guidelines. Guidelines are good. One of the things I look at, too, is novice nurses versus experienced nurses, and that has a big impact in what I would look at as positive deviance, even Benner speaks to that,
right.
about that you have to have some clinical know-how to be able to even kind of look at that.
Right. This isn't something that somebody just out of school, very inexperienced, should
right.
be doing.
They're still just trying to get nursing in general.
Right.
But when you start seeing, you have a certain amount of patients you see, whether it's open heart patients or orthopedic patients, you start to kind of see these different patterns. I think nurses could really open up some dialogue about what they're doing, kind of these unusual practices they're doing at the bedside that may be incredibly helpful.
Right.
To policymakers or even translational research of looking at, how do we get research to the bedside faster?
Mm-hmm. I think this has implications in so many different areas. We're working here at AJN on doing a project on moral distress.
Mm.
And I think that this positive deviance probably comes into play a lot in that area of moral distress when you're faced with situations where you're expected to act or not act. And so this kind of using positive deviance can help you do what you feel is the best thing for the patient.
Sure. Just even when I think about the idea of a just culture,
mm-hmm.
Being able to say where you deviated and why.
Right.
In the research I did when I had nurses anonymously tell me where they where they deviated from a guideline, a really interesting part to me was I let the field of words be unlimited. Mm-hmm. And so there would be these huge, big, long, almost like guilt-ridden paragraphs of like how they did it and why they did it and why they were justified and then the outcome. And really what I was getting at, did you break a policy, yes or no, and what was it? And so some of that data, too, I want to go back and really look at that qualitative piece to it, because it's really interesting to me to see that.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But my first thing was I wanted a word to be able to describe this with, you know, some defining attributes to it in nursing.
Right. Yeah, and I think, again, with that negative connotation around the word deviance, it's too bad, because that's not what's being talked about here. And I also do want to stress what you said, that this is, you know, you really need to have that experience and knowledge and critical judgment base foundation in order for this to work.
Right, but you also need to be able to, if you don't have that, work in a just culture environment where you can ask for it.
Yeah.
Where you can go to your manager or to a more experienced nurse and say, here's the black and white policy, but my patient over here is very gray, you know, as far as the policy being able to, you know, meet their needs.
Right.
And maybe be able to openly dialogue about it with somebody else, about what's the best thing to do to provide the safest, most effective care.
And I hope that's what nursing students are being taught. And I hope, as I tried to say earlier about the changing culture and, you know, with the nursing role, that nurses will do
I teach baccalaureate nursing students, and I'm from Texas, so pardon the twang, but one of the things I like to tell them is you don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. You have to know where the sharp tools are.
That's so true.
When I talk to them in clinical about utilizing their resources, and those resources are a lot of times nurses that are working right next to you that have more experience, they've seen things. Your resources can also be your clinical guidelines. They can be, you know, new evidence-based practice that you don't have a policy for yet, but you can be very instrumental in helping your hospital get there.
Right. Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I think this is a great article. We don't do a lot of concept analysis, rarely do them, because we try to, you know, we're broad-based and we're really want to be, you know, give bedside nurses, clinical, all different kinds of nurses, but certainly clinical nurses. And a lot of times the concept analysis it's not something they take from there and apply to the bedside, but I thought this one was very applicable on that. And I think it will help some nurses to kind of see what they're doing in a different way that can be really helpful. So
hopefully they can see it in a positive way be influential.
Right. And then from there, you know, try to change policies and do the things so that it doesn't have to be deviant, so that, you know, those needed changes become the standard.
Right. A good goal would be to have accurate documentation of really the care we're providing at the bedside.
Right.
So we can maybe even put some research to it and look at those outcome and have some true outcome data of kind of what some of these nurses are doing.
Right, because you point that out too in the article, that as if we don't know that these actions are being taken, it appears that the policy or the procedure as it is working, when in actuality it's not. So, so yeah, it is important to get that transparency. So, all right. Well, again, I think this is a really interesting concept, and I think a lot of people will find it interesting.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just excited to get it out there.
Yeah, and we're excited to have it. I really found it fascinating. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk about this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.